Welcome back to the deep dive. Are you making decisions based purely on gut feel? Or maybe worse, you're just drowning in data that tells you, well, absolutely nothing useful.
Yeah, that's a common trap.
Today, we're going to cut through all that noise. We want to give you a really practical roadmap to measure what truly matters in your startup.
Exactly.
Now, if you join us for Series 1, you'll know we spent time building out that fundamental process-first mindset. We unpacked the whole startup process ecosystem, looked at process maturity, learned how to, discover and map your operational
That
reality.
was all the foundational stuff.
Right. That whole series was really about the why and the what of processes, why they even matter, and what they fundamentally are in a lean, fast-moving kind of
The
environment.
groundwork.
And now here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Series 2 is all about the how.
The practical application.
Exactly. We're shifting gears from just understanding processes to actually implementing them, improving them, and, well, turning that knowledge into tangible results.
Making it real.
So today, our mission is to explore how you establish effective yet lightweight measurement systems. For your startup's processes, we're pulling key insights directly from Chapter 4 of Emmanuel Beccari's book, Startup Process Improvement Volume 1, Turning Chaos into Cash. It's really good
It
stuff.
really is. And, the legendary management thinker, Peter Drucker, he famously said, "What gets measured gets managed."
Right, classic quote.
And in the startup world, which is
Thank you.
often dynamic, sometimes chaotic, this isn't just some catchy phrase. It's really the absolute cornerstone of any real process improvement.
Yeah, I can see that.
You can so easily find yourself completely swamped by data, staring at dashboards that don't actually tell you anything you can act on.
Or the opposite, right?
Or, yeah, the flip side is operating purely on gut feel, making big decisions without any data to actually back them up. So this deep dive, it's really designed to give you a practical framework, helps you avoid both extremes. We're focusing on meaningful process metrics, the ones that genuinely drive improvement without, overwhelming your team.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. Before we even get into what specific things to measure, the source material really stresses having the right measurement mindset.
Crucial first step.
For a busy startup founder, what does that actually mean? Is it just like setting up a spreadsheet or something?
Oh, far from it. It's really about approaching measurement with genuine intention, a clear purpose. The source actually identifies four core tenets for this measurement mindset.
Okay, four tenets. What's the first?
First, there's purpose-driven measurement. This basically means every single metric you decide to track should connect directly back to a strategic outcome that you truly care about, something core to the business.
Right, not just numbers for numbers' sake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the real challenge here isn't just identifying those so-called vanity metrics,
Yeah.
the numbers that might look impressive on a slide but don't actually drive actionable value. The true insight, and this is kind of the hidden gem the source points to, is having the discipline to actually ignore them, even when maybe a board member or an investor asks for them.
Ooh, that's tough.
It is. But chasing impressive yet meaningless numbers is just a massive time sink for a lean startup. You really need to sometimes politely say no and redirect the focus.
That takes courage. Okay, so purpose-driven. Got it. What's next for this mindset?
Second, you need a balanced perspective because, look, no single number ever tells the whole story. You have to look across different dimensions to avoid developing blind spots.
Okay, like what kind of dimension?
Well, think about balancing leading versus lagging indicators. So predictive measures that tell you what might happen versus results-based measures that tell you what did happen.
Future versus past.
Right. You also need to balance process metrics, how the work is actually done, with outcome metrics, what that work ultimately produces.
Efficiency versus results.
Kind of. And then there's efficiency versus effectiveness itself. So resource utilization versus actual value creation.
Right.
And crucially, you need to balance quantitative data, the hard numbers, with qualitative insights, the why behind those numbers, maybe from customer interviews or team feedback.
The story behind the data.
Precisely. And finally, balancing internal perspectives, like how your team sees things, with external perspectives, which
Yeah.
is basically your customer's experience.
Wow, that's a lot to balance.
It is.
It makes so much sense, though. It's just too easy to get tunnel vision on one type of data, isn't it? Especially the stuff that's like easy to track.
Definitely.
But here's something counterintuitive I picked up from the source. Trying to get that perfect balance right from the start, it'll just paralyze you.
That's a key point.
The insight is you have to consciously choose where you're going to be strategically unbalanced in the early days. Know your priority, focus there, and then plan to rebalance as you grow. It's about focusing limited attention, right?
Absolutely right. Which leads perfectly into the third tenet, appropriate precision. For startups, look, it's often far more valuable to have good enough data gathered quickly.
Good enough, Queen.
Than waiting ages for perfect data that takes so long to collect, it's already completely outdated by the time you get it.
Yeah, the world's moved on.
Exactly. Speed and agility, those are your superpowers in a startup.
Yeah.
Your measurement system needs to support that speed, not, you know, hinder it. You're essentially building a compass, not some hyper-accurate satellite navigation system for every single tiny detail, at least not initially.
A compass, not a GPS for everything. I like that. Okay, what's the last tenet?
And finally, number four is continuous evolution. These measurement systems, they aren't static tools you just set up once and forget about.
Right.
As your startup learns, as it grows, your measurement needs are going to change. So your system should be designed to adapt and evolve right alongside the business. Think of it like a living thing, not some dusty old report nobody looks at.
Okay, so the mindset is, be purposeful, balanced, but strategically focused. Aim for good enough speed over perfection and keep evolving it.
You got it.
So don't just measure for measurement's sake, and definitely don't get stuck chasing perfection. But, okay, with all these potential metrics floating around, how do you actually organize them so you don't get totally overwhelmed? The source talks about a metrics hierarchy. What does that structure look like? How do you start sorting this out?
Yeah, it's a brilliant structure, really practical. It's three-tiered, and each level serves a different purpose for different stakeholders. This ensures everyone gets the right level of detail without getting lost in the weeds.
Okay, three tiers. Let's start at the top.
At the very top, you have your North Star metrics. These are the vital few, the top-level metrics. The source recommends just 1 to 3. That truly define your overall success and align everyone in the company.
1 to 3, that's it.
That's the recommendation for the true North Star. They need a direct connection to your core business model, your strategy. They should be meaningful to everyone, your team, your customers, your investors. Importantly, they should be difficult to game or manipulate.
Oh, good point.
Stable enough to track over time and simple enough for absolutely everyone to understand. This is your guiding light, the ultimate goal.
Okay, so these are the big overarching goals everyone's pulling towards. The true north for the whole company. Makes sense. What's the next level down?
Exactly. Below that, you have your key performance indicators, or KPIs. The source suggests maybe around 5 to 10 of these.
5 to 10 KPIs.
Yeah. These are mid-level metrics. They track the performance of your major business functions and your most critical processes. Good KPIs should have clear ownership someone's responsible for them. They should directly influence your North Star metrics.
They feed into the North Star?
Correct. They need to be actionable through specific interventions, meaning you can actually do something if they're off track. They have to be measurable with reasonable effort and comparable over time so you can see trends. These are the metrics that drive your regular management discussions and help individual teams understand how they're contributing.
Right. So the team leads are probably looking closely at these KPIs.
Very likely, yes. And then at the most granular level, the third tier, you have diagnostic metrics.
Diagnostic, okay.
These are the detailed metrics you pull out specifically to troubleshoot when your KPIs signal there might be a problem. They're focused on specific process components, often more technical or specialized.
Down in the weeds.
Exactly. And they're typically only reviewed when an issue actually arises.
Mm.
Process owners, specialists, they're the primary users of these. You don't normally put these on the main company dashboard. They're for the deep dives when something's wrong.
I love that breakdown. North Star, KPIs, diagnostics. It makes it so clear who needs to look at what data and when.
Yeah, use clarity.
I found the example in the source really helpful. The B2B SaaS startup, CloudSecure, their North Star was annual recurring revenue, ARR, pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had KPIs like customer acquisition cost CAC and monthly churn rate, also fairly standard, but crucial.
Very crucial for SaaS.
And then for their diagnostic metrics, they use things like funnel conversion rates broken down by stage or churn reasons categorized. What's fascinating is just how this framework creates these clear levels for discussion. So a board meeting isn't getting bogged down in tiny operational details.
Right, they focus on the North Star and maybe top KPIs.
But a specific team meeting has the precise diagnostic data they need to figure out why churn spiked last month, for example, and then actually act on it. It keeps everyone aligned, but also incredibly efficient with their time and focus.
And this structure is exactly what helps you avoid that dreaded analysis paralysis.
Yeah, good point.
So now that we understand the mindset and the hierarchy, let's get into some specific process metrics that are pretty vital for almost any startup, whatever industry they're in.
Okay, the essentials.
First one up is cycle time. This is simply the total elapsed time from when a process officially starts to when it's fully completed.
Okay, cycle time. Give me an example of why that's so critical. Why track that specifically?
Okay, imagine your customer onboarding process. Let's say your average cycle time is 7 days. That means your brand new customer is literally waiting a full week just to start getting value from your product.
Ouch. Not a great first impression.
Not at all. Now, if you can cut that down to, say, 2 days, that doesn't just look good on some internal chart. It fundamentally transforms your customer's first impression. It probably reduces their churn risk, and it can even accelerate their time to value.
Which might mean they upgrade faster or become advocates sooner.
Exactly. So cycle time reveals your overall process efficiency, how it directly impacts the customer experience, and it really helps you pinpoint those potential bottlenecks and delays. The practical way to track it. Just simple timestamps. Start point, end point. And maybe for more complex processes, timestamps at key intermediate steps too.
Simple timestamps, okay. What else is essential?
Then there's process adherence. This is basically the percentage of times your defined process is actually followed correctly by the team.
How often people are actually doing what they're supposed to do?
Pretty much. It gives you insights into how well your team has adopted and understood the process, maybe how effective your training was, and importantly, it can highlight potential flaws in the process design itself. If nobody's following it, maybe the process is the problem, not the people.
That's a fair point.
It definitely highlights opportunities for standardization if you find, you know, everyone's doing things slightly differently.
So it tells you if what you designed on paper, maybe in that process map we talked about in series one, is actually what's happening on the ground day to day.
Precisely.
And I've definitely seen startups where those two things are miles apart.
It happens all the time. Next up, a really important one. First time right rate.
First time right. Okay.
This is the percentage of outputs, whatever the process produces, that meet your quality standards without requiring any rework or correction.
Ah, avoiding mistakes and fixes.
Exactly. This metric isn't just about quality in some abstract sense. It's about revealing hidden costs. Think about it.
Yeah.
Every time something needs rework, you're effectively paying twice for the same output.
Once to do it wrong, and wants to fix it.
You got it. This is where process inefficiencies can truly bleed your startup dry, often without you even noticing it directly on your main financial statements. It also exposes the actual capability and stability of your process. It helps you uncover the root causes of quality issues and points clearly to where maybe better training or clearer guidance is needed.
Okay, that one feels really impactful financially, even if indirectly.
It absolutely is. And yeah. Just tying back quickly to our balanced perspective from earlier, remember the importance of resource utilization.
Right. Using people and tech effectively.
Yeah. How effectively are your resources, your people, your technology actually being used? Are your engineers spending half their day bogged down in support tickets instead of building new features? That's low utilization on their primary role, and it's costly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, never forget customer satisfaction, which links directly to customer trust, loyalty. It reveals how happy your customers actually are with the outcome of your processes, not just the product itself.
Okay, cycle time, adherence, first time right, utilization, customer satisfaction. That's a solid starting list.
It covers key dimensions.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It means you don't have to just guess if your new customer onboarding process is actually working well or if your support team is truly being efficient. You can put a number on it.
Quantify the impact.
Yeah, you can quantify the impact and know exactly where you need to focus your improvement efforts based on real data, not just hunches.
And this leads us perfectly, directly, really, into one of the most powerful concepts adapted from the lean startup methodology, the build, measure, learn loop, but applied specifically to processes.
Build, measure, learn for processes. Okay.
This is fundamentally how data fuels continuous improvement, especially in a dynamic startup environment. Think of it as this ongoing iterative cycle for your operations themselves.
So how does it work for a process? Let's start with build.
Okay. The first stage is build. Implement process experiments. Now, instead of planning some massive disruptive overhaul of a whole department.
Which sounds scary and slow.
Right. You design small, hypothesis-driven changes. You form a hypothesis. If we change this step, we predict cycle time will decrease by 10%. Then you test it, but with minimal scope. Maybe just for a subset of transactions, or only for a limited time period, like 1 week.
Keep it small and contained.
Exactly. And the emphasis here is on rapid implementation, aiming for days, not weeks or months. Crucially, you define clear, measurable success criteria before you even start the experiment. How will you know if it worked?
Know what success looks like up front.
You have to. And this connects directly to that idea of a minimum viable process, or MVP, just like we talk about minimum viable products.
Right, the simplest version.
It's the simplest version of a process or process change that delivers core value and, critically, allows you to learn quickly. The source even gives that great rule of three for process MVPs. Try to limit it to no more than three roles involved, three key decision points, maybe three pages of documentation max, and track just three key metrics initially.
That rule of three really makes it sound achievable, doesn't it? Which is absolutely key for a busy startup team that feels like it has zero time for process improvement. It feels less daunting.
It really is designed to be less daunting. The next stage, naturally, is measure. Gather meaningful data.
Okay. Run the experiment, now measure.
Right. Here, you collect the data that's going to enable learning and decision-making based on your experiment. This includes both your leading indicators, maybe adoption rate of the new step, and your lagging indicators like the final cycle time or first time write rate.
Both kinds.
Yeah. And don't forget qualitative feedback, too. Ask the team involved, how did that feel? Was it easier, harder? And also try to note any unexpected side effects, good or bad. The key is, don't just collect any data, collect meaningful data related to your hypothesis.
Got it. So build, measure. Next is learn.
Next is learn. Extract actionable insight. This means actually sitting down regularly and reviewing the metrics and the feedback you gather.
Not just letting the data sit there.
Absolutely not. You need to conduct some root cause analysis if things didn't go as expected to understand why things are happening, not just what happened. Look for patterns in the data. And document your learning simply. Maybe just a few bullet points so they can be easily shared and referenced by anyone on the team. This stage is all about making sense of the results, extracting the signal from the noise.
Okay, build, measure, learn. What's the last step?
Finally, you iterate. Evolve based on learning. You take what you learn and you make small, frequent improvements. You amplify what worked well, maybe roll out that successful small change more broadly, and you eliminate or adjust what didn't work.
Keep tweaking.
Constantly. And crucially, you share these learnings across different teams, if relevant, to ensure everyone benefits, and you avoid repeating the same mistakes elsewhere. The real aha moment here isn't just doing the loop once. It's internalizing that process improvement is never finished.
Always iterating.
It's a continuous state of, you could say, healthy dissatisfaction, which for a founder might sound tiring initially, but it's actually quite liberating because you realize you don't need a perfect solution right away, just a learnable one you can build upon.
It really does feel like running mini experiments on your own operations. And if we connect this back to the bigger picture, it means you're constantly refining, constantly getting better, bit by bit, rather than waiting for things to completely fall apart before you finally fix them.
Yes, that proactive nature is key.
That proactive approach feels like a genuine superpower for a startup, doesn't it? Helping you maybe prevent crises before they even properly start.
It absolutely can be. Because the ultimate goal of all this measurement, remember, isn't just to know interesting things. It's to do things differently. It's all about driving actual improvement.
Right. Closing the loop.
Exactly. To truly close that loop from measurement back to improvement, you need to establish improvement cycles.
Okay. What does that mean practically?
It means implementing regular cadences, regular rhythms, for reviewing metrics and implementing improvements. For very operational adjustments, you might do this daily, maybe a quick 10-minute stand-up to see if yesterday's small tweak is working.
Daily checks.
For more tactical improvements, maybe weekly, perhaps in a team meeting where you review the main KPIs for that team. Monthly could be for broader process refinements. And then quarterly might be for more significant structural changes to your processes, like rethinking an entire workflow based on accumulated data.
Different rhythms for different levels of change.
Precisely. And when those metrics do flag an issue, because they will.
Yeah, inevitably.
You need to implement structured problem solving. This isn't just random guessing or blaming. It's a systematic approach. First, you clearly define the problem based on the metric patterns. What exactly is going wrong according to the data?
Define the problem clearly.
Then you analyze the root causes. Use tools if needed, like the 5 whys or a fishbone diagram, whatever works for you. Get to the real underlying reason.
Find the root cause.
Next, you generate potential solutions that actually address those root causes, not just the symptoms. Select the most promising solution, implement it. And then this is critical. You measure the results again using the same metrics that identified the problem in the first place.
Measure again to confirm it worked.
You have to confirm that your improvement actually had the intended effect. It's a rigorous feedback loop that ensures you're making real progress.
That structured approach seems vital to avoid just, you know, flailing around when a metric looks bad.
It provides direction and focus.
So, thinking about this whole deep dive on measurement, what really stands out to you? Is there maybe one process you're thinking about tackling first, now that you have this kind of framework in mind?
Good question.
For me, I think the idea of having those clear levels of metrics, North Star, KPIs, and diagnostic, that feels like a game changer. Just knowing that everyone understands what they should be focusing on, from the board right down to the individual contributor, it seems like it would take so much guesswork out of what data is relevant for whom. I'm just thinking about how much time that could save in, you know, endless debates or confusion in meetings.
You're absolutely right that clarity and alignment is incredibly valuable. And building on that, maybe the most practical tip from the source, especially for anyone feeling a bit overwhelmed right now, is this. Start by measuring just one or two key metrics for each critical process.
Just one or two to start.
Yes. Focus initially only on those metrics that directly connect to your current most important business priorities. You can always add more sophisticated metrics later as your process maturity increases.
Don't try to boil the ocean.
Exactly. This encourages taking action without getting completely paralyzed by the thought of building some massive, complex system overnight. It's about taking that crucial first step, not trying to build Rome in a day.
Makes sense.
And of course, as you embark on this measurement journey, it's really important to keep an eye out for those common pitfalls the source warns about.
Right, the traps to avoid.
Yeah, things like getting seduced by vanity metrics, or the opposite, metric proliferation, where you end up measuring absolutely everything and drowning in data, trying to game the metrics, you know, hitting the target but missing the point.
Yeah, seen that happen.
Getting stuck in analysis paralysis, where you analyze and analyze but never actually take action. Or, maybe the most fundamental trap, having your metrics completely disconnected from your actual business strategy. Remember, data without action is really just noise. It's useless.
Data without action is just noise. That's a great way to put it. Okay, so we've really taken a deep dive into measuring what matters today. We've laid the groundwork, I hope, for effective implementation in your startup. From cultivating that right mindset, understanding the power of the metrics hierarchy, and embracing that iterative build-measure-learn loop, you should now have a much clearer roadmap to start turning some of that operational chaos into clarity using data.
And just remember, this data, it isn't just for your investors or for putting on fancy dashboards, although it can be used for that. It's truly your most powerful internal tool for understanding your own operations, for spotting issues before they blow up, and for making informed decisions that drive real, measurable improvements day in, day out. It really puts you firmly in the driver's seat of your business rather than just reacting to whatever fire pops up next.
Totally agree. Okay, so here's your actionable takeaway from this deep dive. Identify one critical process in your startup. Maybe it's customer onboarding, maybe it's sales lead qualification, maybe it's even how you handle internal IT requests, whatever feels most critical right now, and choose just one key metric for it.
Just one to start.
Just one. Start tracking that metric consistently, starting this week if you can. Just see what insights emerge. You might be genuinely surprised by what that single data point starts to reveal about your operations.
And that leads to maybe a final important question for you to consider as you go about your week. In this world where we're just inundated with data constantly, are we truly learning from it, or are we often just collecting it? Think about how measuring just one important thing consistently and with purpose could actually be the catalyst for transforming your entire operation.